lives, okay? Next week, we will kick off our new series for 2022, series we're calling Reset. Very, very excited about it. We believe that this series is going to set direction, trajectory, vision for our church across all of our campuses in this new year. So here's what I want to ask you to do. Grab a friend, invite somebody. As you start seeing us post stuff about it this week, share that, send it out, make a commitment to be here with us, and let's really lean into what God wants to do in our lives and our church in 2022, okay? Sound good? All right, if you have a Bible, grab it. Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to pick up. Colossians chapter 3, and I'll give you a second to get over there. You know, we are, it is 2022. Can you believe that? I mean, unbelievable. I remember, I was thinking about this week. I remember when the first time I wrote, like at the top of a paper, the year 2000, and it felt weird. And now we're 22 years into that, past that point, and it just really hasn't clicked for me. It's crazy, right? That we're in this new year, and if you're like me, with a new year comes new goals, right? New resolutions. Nothing wrong with those things. And if you're in the room today, we're about almost 36 hours into this new year, and if you're like most of the world, your resolutions are probably already busted, amen? Right? Like, that's kind of what happens. You probably came out of the gate strong, and you had great zeal and great excitement and great commitment, and then January 1st happened, right? And you're like, man, I don't really know what happened with this goal. I had all these plans, these desires, and they just fell off. And that's really what we do at this time of year, right? We start taking inventory on our lives. We look in the mirror after a long holiday stretch, and we say, what happened, right? Like, how am I gonna recover from this? You start looking at your bank and kind of looking at the chaos of that Christmas wrecked on your account. You start looking at your habits, at your homes, at your health. The point is, we start in this year looking towards a reset. We start looking towards something new. We start looking through a change, don't we? Maybe you have already done that. You sat down with a planner and you're like, yes, this is the year of something better. We're going to do this as a family. We're going to do this. This is what we want to see happen in our marriage. This is what we want for our kids. These are some financial goals. These are some vacation plans, whatever, right? We start at this year making these plans and setting these goals, and they're all good, right? We go to all lengths to see these things happen. Start downloading all the apps. You start donating to the gym, and I use that word intentionally. You start, man, like, counting calories and cutting back across the board. This is the year of change. And if we're all just really honest, there's nothing really wrong with that. But the question I began to kind of wrestle with this week as I was preparing for this morning is maybe we missed something. You know, not that, like, our goals are bad, right? Or that our resolutions are altogether sinful in any way. But what if they're just kind of misplaced? What if before we start like unpacking the Pelotons and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, we like paused this year? It's really what I want to do this morning, right here in, you know, January 2nd, 36 hours into this new year, just to pause. And to say, man, all of these things are right and they're good. Man, we want to see financial kind of just, freedom. We want to see marital milestones passed. We want to see some things happen in our lives. There's nothing wrong with all of that. My family, we've got plans for this year. We've got goals. But this week, as I was planning, it's like, man, what if we pause to consider before we get busy and all the stuff, what if we pause and say, Lord, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to do in this new year in my life? What do you want to do in my heart? What do you want to do in my soul this year? What if before we got busy with all the stuff, we took an inventory on our souls this morning and said, God, what do you want to do? And so that's what this morning is all about. I really want us for a moment this morning while we got together here, just a 30 minutes or so, for us to consider one of the most challenging and beautiful text in the Bible, I believe. It comes out of Colossians chapter 3, and really what Colossians will call us to do, if you've read through the letter, and it takes just a few minutes to do that, if you've read through Paul's letter to the church there in Colossae, it calls us to really evaluate all of who we are, to evaluate our lives, our desires, our goals, our ambitions, all of the checklists and all of the boxes, and to grab those things and to bring them under the subjection to King Jesus, to bring them under his lordship, to bring them under his rule, to bring them under his authority, and then to see how it reorients from that space. This morning, as we're together in this room, I hope that you see that Christ is not just something that we get to after the boxes are checked. Right? He's not something that we make our way to after all of our goals are accomplished in life. He's not something that we simply add to our lives. What Paul is going to show us here in Colossians chapter 3 is that Christ is our life. For those who know Jesus, man, what if 2022 was a year where you could say on the back end of it that in 2022, Jesus wasn't an addendum to my life. He wasn't an attachment to my life. He was my life. Man, what a way for us to start a year. All right, what a way for us to start a year. So this morning, I want you to see that Christ is life. And I want to read from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 17. So if you have a Bible, you can pick up with me. If not, it'll be on the screen. This is the word of the Lord. It says this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. He's the focus. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, very important verse there, we're gonna come back to that. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. There's this change that happens, right? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed, sanctified in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, no circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And I love this verse. And whatever you do in 2022, whatever you give your heart to, whatever you give your mind to, whatever you give your energy and your resource to, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything, all of life, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hey, let's pray together. Father, I love you. So thankful for your word this morning, God. I'm so thankful for just the knowledge that it never returns void. Right now in this room and in many living rooms and people watching on the other side of the screens, God, there are people with lots of stuff going on in the background of their life. There's a lot of distraction. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of worry. And Lord, would you just hit pause on all that today? Father, I pray as we look at this passage right here before whatever 2022 holds, I pray that you would help us to live our lives in subjection to Jesus in a way that we've never done before. I pray that Jesus would be seen clearly in this message. And I pray because of what we see, we leave here not just hearing another sermon, not just checking off another box, but we leave here with intention to bow everything that we have and all that we are under his throne. God, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, in the same way that this new year has likely brought transition in your life, right? New desires, new goals, new resolutions, aspirations, ambitions, all those things that are commonplace in any kind of new year, right? In the same way that this is a transition that occurs in our lives in this moment, in this part of the passage we just read, we also see a pivot. You see a transition happen inside the book of Colossians. If you're familiar with the book of Colossians, what Paul has been doing is showing us a beautiful picture of who Christ is, really defending the work of Christ. And now there's a transition in chapter 3 to show us how that changes all of life. You see, he doesn't just show us Christ. He shows us who Christ is and what Christ has done. And now he shows us our life in Christ. Our life in Christ. You see, if Jesus is who he says he is, if he is indeed who you believe him to be, if he has transferred you from darkness into his marvelous light, if he has transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom, if he has given you life from death, if that has been true of you, then Paul's gonna show us what changes, what actually changes. Look at verse 4. It's a very important verse, very important phrase I told you to hang on to. Okay? And if you're taking notes of any kind, if you're underlining, follow along online, whatever, you can grab a pencil, I want a pen or highlighter, and highlight this phrase. This is crucial. When Christ, who is your life. Man, it's such a small verse, isn't it? I mean, it's such a small phrase there. He does something similar in verse 11. Look what he does here. He says, here there is not Greek and Jew. In the life, the vibrance of a faith community, those who have been transferred. He's talking to the church. That's who he's got in frame. All right, so if you're here today and you're still hanging with family and stuff like that, you don't know Jesus, or if you're just in a room and you stumbled in, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're off the hook. But he is right now aiming his crosshairs at the church. And what he does here, he says, in that community, there is not a Greek and Jew. There is no divisions here. There is no circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free. All these divisions, all this separation, all these distinctions, there's none of that. All there is Christ. Christ is all, and he's in all. What Paul is showing us is something very, very important. You see, for Paul, Jesus isn't an addendum to our life. He is not the index at the end of the book. He's the whole story. He's not something that we add to an already pretty good life we feel good about. Right? Jesus is life. He's not the afterthought. He's the captivating thought of all of life. Jesus being Lord to Paul meant that he was preeminent. This is a word we see in chapter 1. Of the book of Colossians. Paul says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And in him, all things hold together. So he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be, here's the word, preeminent. And very important word of my prayer for the church, my prayer for the church I pastor, my prayer for my family, my prayer for my own life in this year is that that could be so true of us, right? Now, not that we don't do the goals, right? Like, it'd be awesome to wake up at the end of 2022 and have a six pack, right? Nothing wrong with that. Right? No, nothing wrong with financial freedom and all the stuff and have all the bucket list stuff that we've made in 2022, like all the check marks. Oh man, what if we could wake up at the end of 2022 and say this was a year where Jesus was first? That's what preeminence means. Not that he's an idea among many. Not that he's a cultural notion around the holidays. Not he's a relic on a shelf. But he is first. Is he first? Is he first in your life? Is he first in your home? Is he really first in your marriage? Would you be able to say that he's first in your finances? That he's first in the way that you parent? First in your work relationships? First in the things that entertain you? The things we give our eyes and our ears to? Is Jesus first? You see, although these phrases are small and so easily overlooked, I mean, you've probably blown by this 1,000 times or maybe not. when Jesus is first in our lives, it changes everything. This is why Paul was able to say later on, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Why could he say that? Because Christ was life. He was all of his life. And my prayer for us this morning as we dive into this message and the rest of it, and we leave here into 2022, and let's just pray it was better in 2021, amen? But man, what if we could just say, Jesus, you're all of life. You had all of it. You had the first of it. You had the best of it. You had my first thought. You had my closing word. You had my everything. You had my family. You had my devotion. You had my zeal. You had my passion. You had all of me for all of you. What a challenge for us this morning to begin this year saying, Christ, I want you to be first, more than a Sunday, more than Christmas Eve, more than Easter, all of life, all of life. So how are we gonna get there? Here's what I believe. This is what I believe this message out of Colossians chapter 3 shows us. When Christ is life, it doesn't only challenge the goals that we make and the resolutions that we set, but I think it reframes all of our life. And here's three ways I want you to see that, okay? So if you like a good roadmap, here you go, okay? If Jesus is life, if Christ is life, it changes what we seek. It changes what we see. Secondly, I want to show you, if Jesus is life, if Christ is going to be life, if that's descriptive of Life Point Church and of your life very personally, it doesn't only change the things that you seek, it changes how you fight. And finally, I want you to see that Christ being life changes everything. It changes everything. So we'll look at this together. Look with me at the very first verse. When Christ is life, it changes what we seek. In verse 1 of chapter 3, we see Paul says something important as well. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, there's a condition placed at the front of this text. You see it? If then you have been raised with Christ. Again, this isn't for everyone. This is for those who love Jesus, who love his church, who have been changed by the grace of God applied to sinners. They've been changed from death unto life. Right? They're now redeemed in Jesus. He is the heart of that individual. If then you have been raised with Christ, look what he says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Right? So what Paul is doing right here in this passage, in this transition, he goes from, again, heavy theological treatment of Jesus, the most beautiful theological treatment of Jesus in the New Testament, probably. Right, heavy Christology right there. He moves from that to very applicable words in chapter 3. He says, basically, if this is true, this is what it looks like. And so he starts, he says, if this is true of you, right? If you have bowed your knee to Jesus Christ as Lord, if you have turned from the world, if you've died to your sin, if you've been resurrected in the newness of life by faith, he says, seek the things that are above. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to seek the things that are above? Well, the Greek idea for seeking after something is to strive for it, to run hard, to go after. It's the thrust of your life. He says, for the believer, for the church, the thing that we go after is the kingdom of God, his mission, his glory, his name. And what's challenging about this passage here is that really flies in the face of many of the goals we just set, didn't it? And we start off, we say, man, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want to see this, I want to step into this, I want to realize this. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, hear me, I'm not heaping guilt. Like, I'm in the same thing. Like, we've got goals, we've got resolutions, but what Paul says is, for the church, there ought to be this supremeness to Jesus. There ought to be this preeminence to Jesus, this firstness to Jesus, where he gets the best, where he gets the first, where he gets your drive, where he gets your zeal, where he gets your passion. With the greater zeal than we give to spin class and chasing our kids around ball fields, trying to see their dreams of the league come to reality, we should pursue and seek the things of God first. And this isn't easy. This isn't easy. It wasn't easy in the church that Paul was writing to. inside that church. This was a church of all new believers. I want you to think about that. It was a first century church. There were no seasoned saints. There were no one to grab the little crazy Christian in the room that's acting out and say, hey man, that's not how you do that. And they're all in the same boat. They're all relative. We've been walking with Jesus about the same amount of time. So this church had all kinds of temptation. There was cultural pull back into a prior lifestyle, and it felt appealing to the Christians within the church. There was a threat inside the church, and there was threats outside the church. There was false teaching, and there was cultural pressure. It feels like home, doesn't it? Right, all kinds of pressure in your lives today. To not seek after greater things, higher things, kingdom things, but to give your life for something less. Right, there's pressure that you feel in just the moment you wake up and you grab your phone and you give it a scroll, right? You start to feel that magnetism. This is what you need to look like. This is what you need to do. This is what successful looks like. This is what importance looks like. You feel it when you walk into your job and you are, you're trying to climb the ladder and get the corner office and get the promotion and all of the stuff. There's just this real pull to get our eyes off of Jesus and to drop them onto these things here. And the call of this text, what Paul says is if Christ is going to be our life, it changes what we seek after. It changes what we seek after. It doesn't mean, man, I pray you all get promotions. Make it rain on you. I want your kids all to be in the league and then give me all the tickets and cool jerseys and stuff. Not Pat. He gets enough. But man, what if we left here and we said, man, look, Jesus has been so good to me. This is what he's done in my life. He's given me salvation in Jesus and I didn't have to work for it. He's done all these things despite me because he loves me, because his mercy was poured out on me. So because of that, man, I am giving my first to Jesus. I am striving. I am running. I am going hard after with greater zeal than all the stuff, all the lesser stuff. And again, it doesn't mean that those things are bad. It just means in the sight of Jesus, they're less, right? And if our focus is Christ, if he is our life, what does it change in your life about the things that you seek? Is Jesus preeminent in your life, church? Is he preeminent? Is he first? I think we can still have passions. We can still have goals. We can still have, you know, things we enjoy, hobbies in our life. Like, I like to fish. I like to eat. I like to hang out. I like to go to the movies, things like that. I want to do these things. Nothing wrong with that. But is Jesus getting my first? And when my passions and my hobbies and my goals and my resolutions conflict with God's mission and God's glory, something's out of order. Something needs to be reoriented and reframed in my life. You see, when Christ is life, it changes what we seek, but his firstness doesn't just touch the things that we go after. Jesus' preeminence actually motivates the things that we fight and how we fight. Look at verse 5. He says, so if then, and he goes on down that same thought in verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then he goes on to just kind of pull the junk drawer out and just start pulling things, lesser things, sin things. Sexual morality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You could insert whatever that thing is for you. Anger, materialism, greed, lust. It's just a junk drawer, right? He's just pulling stuff out here. And his point is this. If Jesus is first, if Christ is not just an add-on to my life, but if he is going to truly be my life, it doesn't just change the things I'm going after, but it changes the way I fight the things that are less. You know, one of the greatest ways that you have assurance in your life, that you actually have a vibrant life in Jesus. You know, I think everyone, even believers who've walked with Jesus for a long time, I think people doubt. I think people struggle with doubt in their life because we mess up. And when we fall short of God's standard, and we fall short of God's holiness, we beat ourselves up pretty good. And I think one of the ways that you know, you can lay your head down, this is probably not the only way, because there's some discernment that takes place in this too, to even kind of understand what you're feeling. But I think one of the greatest ways we can have assurance in our walk with Jesus is our disposition towards sin. Like your relationship with sin after Christ. You know, I can think back in my own life. I got saved a little bit later. Pat likes to joke about that, when I was a freshman in college. And, you know, I had a good little run there enjoying the things of earth, right? And I'll be honest, when I would fall, when I would sin in God's eyes, I wasn't awoke to that. I didn't have an awareness, is what I'm trying to say, awareness that I'd fallen from God's glory. If there was anything, it was like a horizontal guilt. I hope Mom don't find out. I let this person down. Oh, I messed up and I hurt that person's feelings. It was purely horizontal, but there was no vertical kind of awakening to the reality of my sin breaking the heart of a holy God. But that changes when we come to Jesus. We now have the Holy Spirit of God living within us, the paraclete, the helper, living within us. And one of his primary functions and activities in our life, and I know we're gonna get to this in this next series, is conviction of sin. And so now when I fall, man, it breaks my heart, not because I fear condemnation, because Romans 8 tells us that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no condemnation, there's no penalty coming against me. Why? Because Jesus has paid it all. The full weight of my sin, not just the things I did or the things I'm doing, but the things I will ever do that will fall from his standard of perfection, all the weight of that, the full junk drawer of it was laid on Christ on the cross, and there was a penalty to be paid for it, and he absorbed the wrath of God coming against it. So when I feel convicted, I'm not convicted because I'm worried, am I gonna fall out of grace, or am I truly now saved? No, my heart's broken because I broke the heart of God. And so what Paul says, if Christ is our life, he says, put to death that which is earthly in you. Stop coddling it. Stop playing with it. This word, it's actually a phrase. If you look it up in the Greek, put to death, that's a one phrase. I mean, the whole phrase is one word in Greek, and it's mortify. Mortify. Mortify what is earthly in you. Mortify the sin in you. That sounds a little bit more severe, don't it? Go to great lengths to get it out of you. Man, some of us, we have a problem. We open our phones and we go to things that we shouldn't look at. We have porn addictions, we lust, and we linger too long at stuff. What this text would say is if Christ is gonna be our life in this next year, bust your phone if you have to. Get rid of it. Get a dumb phone. Get a pager. I don't even think I make those anymore. Right? Wave a smoke signal out in the backyard if you got to get somebody's attention. I don't know what you gotta do. But go to great lengths. See, we go to great lengths for the things that we love, don't we? Not a single person is gonna have to pull your arm to get on I-24 and go about 80 to the stadium here in a minute. Like, no one's gonna have to tell me, hey, Matt, there's some football on this afternoon, it might be fun. I'm gonna do the things that I love. And what Paul is saying is that when we come to Jesus, our passions change. From a new position, we get a new passion. Not only to change the things that we go after, but change the way that we fight sin in our lives. There's a great quote from a guy named Tony Renke. He's an author and author, writer. He writes tons of articles and blogs and stuff. I love a quote that I read this week from him about this idea, about how when Jesus is our focus, how it changes the way that we see sin in our life. Look what he says. He says, every sight of Christ we take is an attack on every delight of sin left in our hearts. He says, if Jesus is your focus, if our eyes are here, right, not on all the stuff, although the stuff's not necessarily bad, but if Jesus is our life, if he's the thing I think about when I wake up, if he's the thing I'm driving after, he's my focus, he's the strive of my life, He says, every time we look at Jesus, it is an assault on every piece of sin left in our life. Every time we come together corporately and we lift up the name of Christ and we raise our arms over our problems, over our fears, every time we come together and we see Jesus in worship, it is an attack on every piece of sin left in us. Every time we open our Bibles and we spend time in devotion with Jesus, and I'm just meeting with him there, and I'm saying, God, would you speak to me through your word? You want to hear the voice of God? So many people are like, I want to know what God thinks. Open the Bible and spend time there. You want to hear his voice? Open it up and read it out loud. That's what God wants from your life, he wants to do in your life. You want to know what God's will is for you? It's there in the revealed will of God, right there in his word. Every time we spend time with Christ in devotion, it's an assault on the sin left in our hearts. And every time we hit our knees and we pray, speaking to God, it is an attack on that which is earthly in you, which is left. Such an important thing for us to hear this morning, because listen, if Christ is going to be in our life, if not just in our life, he's going to be our life in 2022, man, we need to commit like crazy to reading his word, to knowing his word, to commit to gathering with believers. And we need to commit to raising our kids to know the voice of God, know the heart of God through the word of God. This is a great reason, man. Grab a Bible reading plan. If we want to be serious about fighting sin, you're not going to fight sin because of what a coworker told you. All right, here's a great way. It's not going to be something you see on a talk show. The Holy Spirit of God working in us in accordance with the will of God revealed in the word of God is how we kill sin in our life. And so if Christ is life, if he's what we're striving after, it also not only changes the things we seek, but it also changes, it changes how we fight. And so after calling us to strain, to go, to run, to give, to serve, to go hard after the things above and to set our minds on heaven where Christ is, he tells us to kill sin in our lives and walk in the life that Christ has purchased, but he threads all of these imperatives together with one verse. One verse sums it all up. Verse 17, I want to read it again for us. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. I love that verse because it really doesn't leave much room for margin there. Everything we do, we bring under subjection to Christ. Everything we do. Now, I was reading this week about this idea that, you know, when we pray, we always say, in Jesus' name, amen, right? Am I the only one that prays like that? It's okay. In Jesus' name, amen. And many people, we have no idea why we say that. It's like we're letting God know, hey, I'm about to hang up, okay? I'm about to hang up. I'm about to get off here, okay? In Jesus' name, amen. Beep. But what does that actually mean? Well, this pastor said that when we pray in Jesus' name, what it means is that we are saying everything we just requested, every exaltation of Christ we just made, every petition, every prayer, we're saying to Jesus' name, in Jesus' will, for Jesus' glory, in accordance with Jesus' character, amen. So in all reality, every moment of our life, we ought to be able to pray that. Right? It ought to have in Jesus' name tagged to the end of it. I want you to think about this today. When you leave here, right? When you leave here, you go to lunch in Jesus' name. For Jesus' glory, in Jesus' will, in his, for his mission, for his purpose, in accordance with his character. When you kiss your wife before bed tonight, you are doing it in Jesus' name. When you sit down at work tomorrow, sorry, right? Sorry to remind you. When you sit down at work tomorrow and you open up your emails and you start into your day, you have that first meeting or whatever, you go in Jesus' name. When you step back into the classroom, you go in Jesus' name. When you're tired and wrung out, but your kids need to be discipled, you stay up and you continue to ring out in Jesus' name. You serve the church in Jesus' name. You give faithfully in Jesus' name. Why? Because Christ is life. He's life. He's all of us. Right? He is all of it It's all his. There's no, in our lives, so often we categorize, we make these boxes, like this is my family life, and this is my work life, and this is my hobby life, and this is my church. Right? And then I tag Jesus to the end of it. But what Paul wants us to come awake to today is that, man, what about in 2022, Jesus being not just Christ among the categories, but Jesus over them all. He is Lord over them all. When I begin to see that, that changes everything. It changes the way that I parent. I'm not chasing Lottie's dreams. I'm chasing God's dream for Lottie. It changes the way my finances are stewarded. Right? Why? Because it's all God's. God, what do you want me to do with what you've given me? It changes the way I fight. Not only sin in me, but literally like disputes. It's like, God, Christ is all and in all. So I extend forgiveness because I see that in what Jesus has done for me. It just changes everything. It changes the way I work. It changes the way I serve. It changes the places, the jobs I take. Because I'm now mindful of what God's mission is, what God's plan of redemption in the world is, what's God's desire for me in my life. What does he want from me? And if I can't do that in this new job, no matter what it pays or no matter how cute the neighborhood is, I'm sold out to God's mission. It changes the colleges that we send our kids to. And it looks good on application, yeah, but is it God's plan for their life? You see, when Jesus is Lord of all, when Christ is not just a part of our life, but he's all of our life, it doesn't only change the things that we seek and how we fight sin in our lives, it changes all of our life. As we close this morning, I want to read a quote from a famous Christian missionary you may know as St. Patrick. Not just because it's a good time to wear green and go to a pub and all that kind of stuff, but St. Patrick, he really captured the heart of this message this morning in a prayer that he prayed. You may not know this about St. Patrick. He was actually enslaved. He was captured by Irish pirates and he was enslaved and he received a vision, he believes, from God and led to his escape and his later conversion. He went back because of his heart was broken for the people of Ireland. He went back to Ireland, evangelized, planted churches. Beautiful story. Incredible, incredible biography. You ought to read about St. Patrick. Not only that, he actually evangelized the king of Ireland, saw him converted, and was able to baptize him. Incredible. He was able to accomplish so much in life, I believe, because he hung the banner of this prayer I'm about to read to you over his life. This prayer is called St. Patrick's Breastplate. A breastplate comes from the Latin word lorica. And the lorica in ancient days was this prayer. And it was a prayer of protection, a prayer of provision, a prayer of just God's providence in the life of the person who's praying it. And so many knights, many warriors going out to battle would have this etched on their shield, this prayer of protection and provision. And it's called St. Patrick's Lorica because this was the prayer etched, not on a shield, but on his life, etched on the life of St. Patrick. Let me read this for you. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, and Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Oh man, what if that would be our prayer this year? Not that someone sees an incredible businessman or, you know, a super talented kid or, you know, whatever. that someone that would hear your name, that would look at your life, could say, Christ is that person's life. He's all of them. When I see them, when I hear them, when I think of them, all I see and all I get are images of Jesus in my mind. See, I believe that St. Patrick was able to do the incredible things that he did because this was true of him. He hung this banner over his life. It was etched into the fabric of who he is. And oh, church, what if that would be etched on our church this year? Man, we get busy doing all the stuff, checking all the boxes. But before we do all that, we say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? I want your name to be etched into my marriage. I want your name to be etched into my finances. I want your name to be etched into the way that I work. I want you to be etched into the way that I parent. I want you to be etched into the way that I'm mindful of the lostness of our community and I step into my neighborhood with eyes open to it. I want you to be etched into my goals, you to be etched into my resolutions. And God, I pray, I pray that you don't hear, man, don't have a goal. It's not it, but what is this? What is the drive of our church? What's the drive of your life? And listen to me very clearly. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord, he will never be your life until you have first given your life to Christ. Until he has given you life. Do you know him this morning? Maybe you're watching online and you're hearing this and you're like, oh, I see the dysfunction in my life and I want to know him in the way that you're talking about. I don't know if I've ever surrendered my life to Jesus. You can text the word Jesus right now if you're in the room. I want to encourage you. Walk out the back door. I'll be out there. A couple of our pastors, we would love to sit down with you and just talk about what it looks like. We're not going to have you check a box and pray a prayer after us. That stuff doesn't work anyway, right? What I want to ask you is, would you walk out that back door and talk to us if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, if he is not your life? And we would love to talk to you about that. But man, church, collectively this year, what would it look like? What would it look like in our church, in our communities, in our homes, in our marriages? What would our kids see? If Jesus wasn't just something that we add to our lives, he wasn't just something that we do because it's right. He's not a cultural idea, but Jesus was everything. Father, I love you. God, I am so thankful for this church. And God, I just pray, Father, we have a great church, healthy church, faithful church. God, I pray that in this new year, we would see you do things we have never even believed possible. We would see addictions broken. We'd see salvation come in the hardest of hearts. We'd see marriages that are built up, kids poured into, prayed over, discipled. We'd see missionaries called out, pastors raised up, churches planted, things that we have never imagined. Because collectively, our heartbeat isn't for the things of earth, but Lord, our gaze is now set on heaven. We see Jesus. We see Jesus. We love Christ. He is everything to us. And so we live all of life under that reality. Everything reorients. Everything orbits around who he is. Jesus, I pray that be true of my own life. You wouldn't just be an idea. You wouldn't just be an attachment. But God, you would govern everything. You would reign over everything. Father, would you do a work in our church? Would you do a work in the heart of someone maybe here today that doesn't know you? Maybe there's a marriage here that's on the rocks, and God, they're not believing that there's redemption possible. Reconciliation may seem out of view, but God, I pray if we just get our eyes up off of the hurt, off the betrayal, off the doubts, and onto Christ, all things are possible. love you. God, I pray that we would be etched by the reality that Christ is life. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, let's stand and let's worship together.